And welcome to another edition of Capes and Commentaries. We're starting it off on a nice laugh here, and why the hell not? It's the weekend, and we should be laughing and having fun, which is what we're going to do today. And if you don't know who I am, why the hell are you listening to this podcast?
He's Chuck Steak. I am Biff Webster.
Yep. We are your local friendly neighborhood commentators. Excuse me. God.
Yeah.
We're so laid back, we can't even talk properly here right now. But if you're listening to this, you ought to know we are capping off our Arise, Serpentor Arise commentary. We'll be rounding at the last two episodes of this. So we really did it.
We did it, man.
Well, I even said this like months ago when I was trying to get this off the ground. And I said, I think if we get started, like, I don't see us like, we'll do something else and then come back to it. I kind of feel like if I get Nathan onto it, he'll want to finish it.
Right.
Sure enough, that's what we've done. So we are wrapping up the great mini-series, if you want to call it that, of Serpentor's origin. And what the hell's going to happen? Nathan doesn't know.
Yeah, I don't. I my plan last night is I'm like, I'm going to watch these two episodes so I can prep, because I haven't done this an entire time. But it's honestly kind of best this way. So sometimes, sort of. I'll be better prepared next time.
Yeah, we'll find out. Yeah. We'll see about that.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Well, Nathan's like, oh, I just woke up. I didn't have time to
do
anything. You cut like to this footage, like Nathan laying on his couch, like flipping the channel, farting, eating cereal, like these constant edits of like a montage of Nathan doing everything but watching the one cartoon. He's watching everything else, but
yeah,
he'll watch like a shitty segment on Nitro. This is stupid shit, man. I can't believe it. Then he's up again playing this and streaming. It's like, did you watch it last night? I just didn't have time, man.
I'm gonna apologize to the viewers on YouTube. I'm looking kind of rough today. I just woke up like an hour ago. I was up until like, I text you at what? It was almost 6 o'clock. I'm like, hey, if we get a late start, that's fine by me. I'm still awake for whatever reason.
Well, you said it was at 5 a.m, but I didn't see it till almost 8 o'clock because I was dead tired. So I slept in a lot longer than usual today.
Yeah, so I didn't.
But hey, look, honestly, I don't think people who listen to this podcast or watch it are really wanting to know, hey, are they looking good today, guy?
Hey, come on.
If that's the case, I think we got something to worry about because they're not here to listen to our thoughts on classic cartoons. So.
Right.
You know, we don't have a makeup artist to come in and
well, I I guess I could get Emily to like dab some shit on my face.
You remember
when you used to be like so concerned about your appearance all the time, like in high school? Like we'll save that for the high school talk days. One other thing I wanted to get out of the way before we started the commentary is most people hate the dentist. I don't mind it too much, but I know most people absolutely just hate it. I don't know where you sit on the fence with that. I think most people that hate the dentist are the people that don't really take care of their teeth, like brush every day, whatever. So when they go, or floss even, so when they go and they're picking away at their teeth, like it fucking hurts. Because if you don't, you don't floss or anything, you're going to just bleed everywhere and it'll look like a horror movie. But I had to go, Thursday, a couple days ago, I had to go and get a crown on a tooth, which was a tooth that got a cavity in it like 15 years ago. And then a couple years ago, I was on break and I'm like eating my sandwich. It was a peanut butter sandwich. And all of a sudden it was crunchy. And I'm like, what? And it was my tooth. Like half of it had just broke off. So I guess the filling that they put in there for that cavity had finally started to just get bad. Because I know sometimes you have to do that again. Because they're like, oh, it's getting bad when they do x-rays and everything. But it feels normal now. But after, because they put Novocaine in there, they like hit me twice with it, which was fantastic. So like half of my face over here was just completely numb and it felt weird. But after that, even trying to just chew on the side that wasn't where they did everything, when I would bite down, it felt strange. It's back to normal now, and it still feels weird rubbing my tongue over there. It's like, just, you know what a crown is, right? Like, what they do?
Yeah, yeah. But I've never had it done or anything like that, so.
So basically, they just take that tooth, they took that tooth, and they, like, drilled on it to make it like a little stump, and then they like mold another thing and put it together with like a fake tooth and then like cup it over top of it. And it's a weird feeling having two people just, you're laying down and they're staring at your face and she's like got this and you can hear the noise and obviously can't feel anything because it's numb, but you can hear like the, and then you can like smell like a burning smell.
Yeah, I hate that. That's probably the one thing I God.
Yeah,
that's rough.
Yeah. But since then, like years ago when I had that cavity, knock on wood, because I think I've only had two cavities in my life so far. Kids, take care of your teeth. Brush your teeth every day.
Ain't just something people just say, man. It pays dividends.
Take care of your teeth. And especially floss. Like, that is important. And if you don't like getting the regular floss and doing that, I have a Reach flosser that I use where you just put the top on it, and it's just easier for me.
I floss 2 to 3 times a day, man. It's really part of my routine. My mouth cleansing routine is not complete without flossing and mouthwash. So
yeah, mouthwash too. Listerine, guys. There's our sponsor.
We got Pearly Whites, like Uncle Tyler here, and that's when you add in like the sparkle effect on my teeth.
Yeah,
in post production,
there's so many people who just don't take care of their teeth. I'm like, you kind of need that shit to eat with. I mean, I guess you don't.
Yeah.
I guess you can get dentures, and you know, keep doing meth. Let your teeth fall out. Who cares?
Yeah, or people let their teeth get stained from
a
variety of stuff. God, it's
Sonic Care toothbrushes, or work wonders. That was probably like my favorite Christmas present. I'm at that age now where I'm like, holy shit, yeah, this great toothbrush. It's gonna make things easier and make my teeth cleaner. Because when I went to the dentist for the cleaning, they're like, wow, your teeth are perfect. Other than, you know, the shit that inevitably, like, they had to put a
crown on.
Well, there you go. There's the good boring.
Well, who wants to talk G.I. Joe now?
All right. Well, we got to part 4 and part 5.
And 5.
Yeah, and we'll be done with this. So, Tyler, go ahead. Give us a countdown. Take it away.
3, 2, 1. Yo, Joe. And here we are with Cobra Commander and Scrap Iron. Cobra Commander's giving shit to Dr. Mindbender like he does so well in this miniseries as Sergeant Slaughter's getting ready to kick some ass.
Yeah. Oh, man. I've started collecting 25th anniversary Joes, just so you guys know. So if you got any you want to send my way, or maybe even Tyler's way too, depending on what he's got, let us know. Get in contact with us. I'll take.
Yeah,
them
I love how
hands.
This podcast has been really expensive for Nathan, because every cartoon we tackle, Nathan's like, so starts scratching. Like, I really want to get some of this stuff, man. And
it's like, shit, not again.
And then I'm like, I wish I could buy something. Nathan's like, man, I can't buy enough, man. It's like, and I found this, and I found this, too. It was only $3,000, man. I got a deal.
No, I don't go that far. No, with Joe's, it's different, because 3 3/4, man, I'm like, I have to set a limit on these. Because with just how small they are, I can't justify spending $40 for one, you know? To me, it's like a good, like $20 or less is a good range for me.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, you know, if you go vintage and you know, I mean, Joe's, of as much as big a fan as I have been of the series, I never felt the need to get every single character, at least of the Joe's. I was more inclined to want to buy more Cobra Forces and then pick and choose my favorite Joe characters, which, you know, some I'm just like, I don't need him. I don't need him either. Not to say that I wouldn't gladly accept them, but
right.
And then when I would be hunting the Happy Slea Market or going to any flea market in general, or looking up Joes to buy, it would just be, you know, members of Cobra or certain members of the Joe team. It's like I just wasn't interested in getting a lift ticket or a lifeline or various Joe members, but like the terror drum here, which is kind of in a different setting as opposed to what we would see in the 87 movie. I kind of like the idea of it being out in the, I mean, it is in the woods, as we will see, but it's, I kind of like it being there, which in the comic books, they manufacture like terror drums. Like that's something that they manufacture and sell to people on the black market, which is kind of an interesting concept that they can, you know, mass produce terror drums, which is, pretty interesting to think about the vast amount of financial support that Cobra has at their disposal. I mean, it's just kind of fun to think about, you know, they're stopped often by G.I. Joe, but in between all that, you feel like Cobra is getting finance very, very well in so many forms. And I mean, obviously, like extensive enterprises run by Tomax and Zaymont, you know, because they're like the big corporate front for Cobra. Which is like, it's pretty cool because that business shows up in several episodes, which is like the Joes know it's associated with Cobra, but it's not enough to prove that they are guilty of fronting for Cobra. So it's kind of cool that they, no matter how many battles Joe wins, Cobra still manages to linger.
Yeah. There's that underlying like big evil corporations that people always go to. It's like, yeah, they're up there in their high tower with all their money. Yeah. What kind of nasty shit are they getting into?
Yeah, and it's just kind of fun to think about because, like, in the comics, too, like, Cobra Commander was a used car salesman, you know, and just uses, you know, powers of manipulation, which, looking at Sergeant Slaughter doing this,
yeah,
that just hurts me.
Yeah, it's yeah, like just thinking about it, yeah. Oh, God. Because I can almost feel my, like, fingernail just peeling back.
Yeah, it's like that scene in the Texas Chainsaw remake when that poor guy's dragged down to the basement. Oh. He's scraping so hard his fingernails tear off. God, that was awful.
This is, like, a cool concept, though. It's like we are going to take the DNA from all of these great leaders and warriors and make our own thing.
It's a fun creative idea and it works too. Which I know that the people at Marvel were not too keen on it, and I think Larry Hama was the same way too because they wanted to take out Cobra Commander and introduce a Pentor. And I was like, dude, Cobra Commander is like, you know, next to Snake Eyes, the most popular character in the series, and Cobra already has a leader. And they're just like, well, we're releasing him, so find a way to make it work. And
yeah,
they did an excellent job. Which like Cobra came out with his hands behind his back, like I just. His whole demeanor in this, he steals every scene, which he does in every episode, but just his performance in this, and thanks to Chris Latta, you know, just constantly being like the troublemaker. You know, he's always up to some tomfoolery in every episode of this miniseries.
Now, when people look back on this, is there sort of how people look with the movie since this has like a science fiction element to it? To a degree, like, are people bothered by that? Because you said before when we watched the movie that a lot of people prefer their Joes to, like, be a little more grounded in reality and not so out there. What is the perception of this miniseries in terms with the fan base that you've seen over the years?
I think it's pretty well accepted, but I think... The majority would always take, and as we see, this is not Serpentor. This is, holy hell! I don't think Serpentor is kind of dismissed. I think he's pretty much widely embraced by the majority of the Joe community, but not like Cobra Commander. Like right. Cobra Commander is pretty much irreplaceable. I mean, that's I think you could say that if you had to pick between Megatron and Galvatron. I would almost say almost 100% is going to pick Megatron over Galvatron. No matter if you like that character, you know, it's just kind of like you're going to go with what worked originally because it was perfect. Don't mess with perfection.
Right.
And, but I think working the, you know, a new leader into Cobra into this, but Cobra Commander is still around. It worked out great. And it's awesome that, and I think because they didn't like it, they found a way to make it acceptable, not Hasbro, but Larry Hama in the comics and the Marvel with the series, so they make it work and keep both characters because it was even though the original Cobra Commander is taken out in the comics and then does come back after a brief period, but I was always pro Serpentor as a kid, but not like I take him over Cobra Commander. But as I got older, I was all about more Cobra Commander. I was like giving Serpentor the finger. I'm like, Cobra Commander's the best, dude. But I still like the character, and I embrace him as one of the really important characters in the mythology. just love Cobra Commander. He's such a – that's something that I was telling a friend of mine at work, too, because he hadn't really thought about it and hadn't seen it in a while, but the Street Fighter movie
it's a G.I. Joe film.
It's a G.I. Joe film because Bison, played by Raul Julia, acts a lot like Cobra Commander. Like, he's a threatening villain, but you find him very likable and enjoyable, which had that point where I thought the movie was absolute shit. And then I kind of come back around to him like, you know what? There's something here that, you know what? I found very offensive, but actually it's actually not bad. When it's time to get serious, it's serious. And when they're having a little bit of fun, it's not unbearable. Not to say every bit of dialogue or every scene is great, because some stuff could have been axed, but
yeah.
But for the most part, it's just one of the I was like I could put the other ones like shitty YouTube videos like of just me voicing and showing pictures. Here, check out my conspiracy theory video saying the Street Fighter movie is really a G.I. Joe movie in disguise. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. You know, some asshole hit me up with a friend request, and he had like a connection to like other He-Man fans. Okay, maybe he's a fan of the podcast. And then I get this random message. Hey, I'm trying to get a lot of subscribers from my my toy review channel. You know, please subscribe to my YouTube channel. Thank you. I'm like, fuck you. Unsubscribed from him and ignored his message and unfriended him.
Pulled a cornet on him. Huh? Thank
it's
you.
Just some thank you. Some fuck slug. You. Bye. Like, who the hell do you think you are?
Right.
back to Joe's here, which is
hey, Dreadnoks
playing cards.
Yeah, I got most of those guys sitting at that table right there, coming in the mail.
You got to get Thrasher next, dude.
Depends on the price.
Did you? I was gonna say, did you get Monkey Wrench too?
No.
I didn't think so.
Honestly, you do a search for him. Only vintage on eBay. Couldn't find any 25th because he was part of that set.
He was part of that set, yeah.
So it just depends on if people are willing to sell them separately, which you can't even really find the set on eBay right now.
Yeah, it was difficult trying to find. I did find some, but I just like you. Yeah, I just felt like I was like $30, $40
at that rate, I may as well just buy the vintage and just have them hanging out with them.
Yeah. Yeah, which is not like an iceberg's white again. I like their Swamp Fire vehicle here, which is like a water vehicle and a air based vehicle too, which is such a cool concept. A lot of great toy commercials for G.I. Joe too, yeah. Like from the very early ones even into the 90s. Except even as a kid, like I thought the live action ones were cool, but I hated the actor who played Duke. I thought he was such a dork. Because it was always like bad puns and jokes. I'm like, even as a kid, like, this is so lame. Like, but it made me feel like we could really get a G.I. Joe movie. This is awesome. But they got the goof playing Duke, and it's not his fault. He's just doing what he was asked to do. But I just hate to, like, why do you have to make Duke to be such a schlub? Because I was like, I wasn't a fan of Duke to begin with anyway. Right. Now you're making him so unlikable in these live action commercials.
Snakes and spiders.
Yeah, more action in the swamp here. Now, I know you're not as, like, well, versed in, like, the names and stuff, but, like, Cobra has had, like, a wide variety of, like, troops and Vipers and infantry. And right now they're using the Cobra Vipers, which were kind of like the mainstay for quite a while after this. Like, you had the Cobra officers and the Cobra troopers who just had, like, the blue outfit and the mask over their mouth.
Right.
But from here on out, you're getting a wide assortment of just a wide variety of different Vipers. Like, that was another cool thing, too. Like, if it was a Viper of some kind, it was also a sell for me, too, because it was another, like, infantry member of Cobra. Mm-hmm. You have your Techno Vipers, your Tele Vipers, your Ninja Vipers, you had your Toxo Vipers, and your Cobra Eels, and your Undertows, and even though some of those were, like, desperate guys, but I just loved the army builders that Cobra. Range Viper, to this day, is my absolute favorite of all the Vipers, because they had the skull face and the brain motif, and they just looked so menacing to me as a kid. That and the Saw Viper. I thought the Saw Vipers were really, really cool.
No, even when I was collecting as a kid, like, I was always drawn to those because they always had cool designs. Like, there's not really a bad one too much in the bunch.
No, no. And I think it was the 1990 wave, which I feel like had I been older in the 80s, I would have, you know, because I feel like when I go look at, because I go to Yojo.com a lot just to kind of reminisce and look at a lot of the figures just for the hell of it. And just like looking at that particular year, like how many of those characters I picked up at Kmart and Hills.
Yeah.
Because I was so adamant about getting the Range Viper, the Laser Viper, the Rock Viper, the Saw Viper. Just because it was the Undertow, I just thought, God, there's so many great looking villains.
But I guess that's kind of what you want out of your army builders, right? You want them to look cool that way. They're like, oh, I want to get more of these.
Yeah, and I never it never crossed my mind to like, I got the Range Viper, I need more. It was like, I've got the Range Viper.
Yeah,
and I just seemed so content with it. But I'm just surprised that, and I got a little bit older, I'm like, God, it would be awesome to have, like, multiples of some of these characters because, you know, when as a kid, when you're playing with him, you're, like, picking up the same figure, and he's being punched and punched and punched. Pick him up again, punched and punched to insinuate in your thoughts of playing with these toys that it's multitudes, multiples of these Vipers coming. And that's pretty much the entire group of the Season 2 characters here. Which Beachhead looks perfect in this background. There was some video popped up on YouTube as a recommendation when you start looking at G.I. Joe and stuff like that, and someone had put together like the shittiest Joe vehicles and like the poorly worst dressed like G.I. Joe members. Like, God, I hate videos like this. And I saw Dr. Mindbender was listed on there, like, I almost feel like people just put those videos together to be funny, and they really don't have anything interesting to say. They just think they'll try to say something homoerotic about it because I guess that's what people in these communities find to be funny. If you say something's kind of like underlying gay, then it's funny without. But you don't say gay. You just say, you know, they look gay, but they're not gay. They just look gay. it's just stupid shit like that. And I take, you know, this mythology along with, of course, He-Man, Thundercats, Turtles, so on and so forth. I don't like making jokes about this stuff. So when people try to find reasons to poke fun at stuff with very, very white bread humor, I just kind of want to look at them and like shove their head into the wall. And I would piss off Lifeline a lot since he's against violence, and I definitely would be like Beachhead. And I'm not a violent person, but I just stuff like that just frustrates me because it just spreads like wildfire.
Right.
Scenes like this, too, I always find to be fascinating. Like, you know, it's and it makes sense. I don't feel like Dr. Mindbender with his, you know, the chief science officer that he is, like this laboratory. You just kind of feel like this makes sense to have this kind of expansion because you kind of feel like this is what was going on all along anyway when they're coming up with these new inventions and things. And even though Destro is the main arms dealer, you know, Destro's not coming up with everything. You like right. to think that there are certain things that only Dr. Mindbender. And that's what makes Cobra so interesting, because you've got so many people who are in charge of a wide variety of things, like Tomas and Zaymont are handling, you know, the business side, Destro's handling the weapons, Mindbender's handling the science and technology aspect. Like, it's just so awesome. And the Cobra Commander's just running around running the show.
Yelling at everybody.
Just screaming and yelling at everybody. I don't know how, like, in a recording session, how you, look at that, guys.
I think my favorite thing with him is he doesn't give a shit. He is willing to undermine anything as long as he gets his way.
Yeah.
It's his way or nothing else. And he knows that people, and even if they're not, he's always paranoid that people are, like, conspiring against him.
Which makes for a great villain. And, like, you know, Destro doesn't hesitate to grab him up by the collar, shake him around.
And that's refreshing, too. It's nice to see that even though, like, they will fall in line with him, that they're also willing to step up and, like,
challenge him. No, at any not moment. Today.
Yeah.
Which makes them such an interesting group because, you know, in the comics, you know, like, Destro does break ties with Cobra Commander. You know, a few times, like there's times where like he's hell bent on killing Cobra Commander, and then vice versa. And so they do have a love-hate relationship in the comics. Whereas in this, like, they argue a lot, but they never actually part ways. Which I guess could have been...
Told him to go suck some eggs.
Yeah. Tomax and Zaymot. I wish I could have seen them kick more ass. Which I didn't realize the other day. I saw it in like a random post, because the Snake Eyes movie has been in pre-production, and apparently they've cast Snake Eyes, but I didn't see any news about it, and I had to go look it up to see if it was actually legit or some, you know, clickbait bullshit. And apparently it's official, but they cast the lead from Rich Asians movie, whatever it's called.
Well, I mean, you think about it, he's gonna be like in costume and he can't say anything, so.
But I almost feel like if they cast the male lead in that, you know, are you saying this guy is a great martial artist and you're using that? Or are you going to say that, well, we're casting him and we're gonna have him be Snake Eyes? And
yeah, it'll probably be like some like origin story bullshit. And yeah,
which I kind of feel like, you know, I don't know. I'm not. They haven't really said much other than that. No one else has been cast or anything like that, so I don't know. And apparently, Paramount is lining up another G.I. Joe movie, which I'm like,
oh yeah, I heard
you know,
about
you
that.
Guys, you know, you guys are, you know, jumping the gun a little too far. Like, you can't even get one decent movie off the ground. How about you wait and make sure you don't botch this one before you're like, I'm gonna do another one. And here he is, man. He has finally come to fruition. He is alive.
There we go.
Yeah, and that is part four.
Part four. And then we'll go into immediately part five.
Yeah, part five is kicking in.
My shit messes up again. Yeah, it's like...
But yeah, Buzz Dixon, who wrote this, he does the commentary on the 87 movie, too. So he was pretty integral in a lot of these stories. I feel like a lot of these shows just don't get the credit they deserve because everyone's so quick to lump them in. It's just like 80s cheese. Like, everything's silly shit. You can't take it seriously because it's more fun to look at it that way as opposed to... I can't be the only like fan of these shows that takes offense when people just want to make fun of these legendary cartoons as if like all they are is just like poor animation goofs. Silly stories, and they're just cheesy as hell. I just, that consensus that so many people have on these things that are not hardcore fans. I like the hardcore Joe fans, hardcore Transformer fans, hardcore He-Man fans, Thundercats, Turtles. Like, I kind of feel like they would argue that, but you just kind of feel like it's more out there that all these cartoons are just silly shit, and that if you can't have an actual conversation about the mythology because it feels like, are there anybody that could talk this stuff, or are they pretty much just people who pose? And
well, no, there are a few things out there on YouTube that I do enjoy that talk about the history of it. Yeah, they'll make a few light jokes, but it's nothing too terrible. And some of it's really informative, but I guess it just sort of depends on what you're looking for. I guess what they're trying to hit is... the people, hey, I remember this, but it's like how I am sometimes. I remember it. I don't remember names and like everything, but I also don't really appreciate either when it's just they want to take a big shit on everything just because.
Yeah.
And most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, the people that are doing it weren't really alive when this stuff was even popular anyway, so...
Yeah, and then they have, like, so many people subscribing to their bullshit and can't wait to watch the latest, you know, rant and rave and just pissing and shitting on something.
It is what it is.
Which is people love to listen to morons. I mean, I guess that's why people love that Kardashian bullshit. People who don't contribute anything in terms of entertainment, society, or life in general, they're the most fascinating to the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's just it's the reality TV culture that we
been in. And where people who don't really do anything, but they'll sit at their computer and just read the damn newspaper. And somehow they've got subscribers, and they'll sit there and blow their nose and fart and pick their nose and dig in their ass while they're recording and tell you to subscribe to their videos because they think that they have something of relevance to bring to you. And then let you know, hey, I'm back, baby. I was gone for an hour, but I'm back on social media, man. Check out my bullshit.
People are weird that way.
Yeah, whereas we do this just out of passion and fun. Because I think it's important to, Nathan is right. Yes, there are people out there who do put together videos whose sole purpose is to provide a history of the cartoons, the characters, the mythology, the comics, whatever the interest might be. And Cobra Commander being it. But they are out there, and I appreciate this. So yeah, from here on out, Cobra Commander is just like he's such a lovable villain. Spiral staircases, I always love those in castles and things like that. Yep. Such a great. I've always wanted to see Kevin and Axel do artwork using spiral staircase with fights. Like,
It's funny how Serpentor is just he's already got like his he's just gliding around and everyone else has got to like run on foot.
Yeah, this sequence here is they're all chasing. And then Cobra Commander, when he passes the dreadnoks here, this is one of my favorite moments. Holy shit! Right.
You just see Sergeant Slaughter. They're cutting people's heads off. I ain't kidding. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, See, the Trojan horse.
Dude. I mean, you look at the designs of just this particular group of Joes. Visually, they're all intriguing and so easy to do in a live action film, and yet, I like to make fun of what Paramount did because they're assholes for doing what they did. They thought it was a great idea, and I will forever give them shit until they prove me otherwise. So to think that, your Joe movie, everyone has to wear the same damn thing. All black uniforms are all like something right. black related.
Yeah.
It's like, you just don't get it, do you? And yet that one sequence in the Bumblebee movie, everyone lost their shit. That one sequence on Cybertron.
Yep.
Because they got it right. But just for a brief period, and it was just, enough to get you all aroused.
A tiny taste.
And like, that's it. A full movie like that. So, and I still say to this day, some things may not work as a movie, but I think most of these properties like this right here, as long as you respect these characters, the source material, no, you don't need to make it deliberately silly because there's a few lighthearted moments, but not to, feel like you can't throw in a nice humorous moment here and there from Cobra or the Joes, but why is it so hard to respect a sequence like right here? Scrap Iron's changing sides again. Because Cobra Commander's going to, buy him off because that's what Cobra Commander does. You throw out the money, you can buy anybody.
Yeah. Just as Million Dollar Man said, everybody's got a price.
Everybody's got a price, And I love that about Cobra Commander. Like, he thinks it was his wallet and his words.
Like how everyone's just in a circle just watching them fight right here.
Yeah, it's like being back in high school. You're just kind of cheering on who you want to win.
Yeah. Yeah. There's Pruitt running in. More high school stories. Save for a later day.
Yep. But even if, you weren't welcome to the idea of Serpentor, I kind of feel like it's so hard to... Even though you may feel like his visual is probably, you might say, could be outlandish compared to, well, I don't know. I almost feel like with Cobra, you can pretty much get away with anything you wanted to do for the most part. Like, I know people like to pick on the 87 wave because I think that was the first year that sales were dropping drastically for G.I. Joe. Right. And if you look at that cast of characters that were released, like a lot of the Cobra guys were, they weren't, you know, I mean, you had Croc Master, Big Boa, Crystal Ball, Raptor.
During that time period, that was kind of, I guess, in a way, sort of the transition, right? Because G.I. Joe cells are dropping, Master Universe cells are dropping.
That was the last year for He-Man. Yeah. Like, that was their last year here in the States, at least. Right. G.I. Joe dropped. Transformers took the big hit because at 86 is when they killed off all the beloved members and introduced the new crop. And then Turtles comes on the scene. Yeah. Thundercats is not lasting much longer. But all the while you're getting Brave Star and Bionic Six, and Turtles comes out, you know, like a force of nature. And
yeah, Turtles sort of was just the carried the torch. Like once these other properties started to just diminish, Turtles sort of rose up and took it out. Because, you know, Brave Star, Bionic Six, that stuff is like popular but didn't last long enough at all. And Turtles,
like, yeah, I mean, and that, at least, and that's something too about the 80s, like there were really only of all the major players, you know, you think the 80s, you think He-Man, G.I. Joe, and Transformers, you throw Thundercats in the mix and everybody else was all fighting for their share of the pie, and then Turtles comes on and they kind of end the 80s and start the 90s,
dominate the 90s.
Yeah, and then Power Rangers takes over from Turtles, yeah. Even though G.I. Joe and Transformers were still going on, and you got Batman is coming back big and bigger and better than ever, and Spider-Man and Marvel superhero, because comic books were so popular.
And then they crashed again.
Yeah, they crashed again, and a lot of shitty toy, like they're making Spider-Man into a soccer player, into a scuba diver, and all in like doll form. Like, God, what is this shit? Like,
what kid wants to? Oh, I wonder if Spider-Man was a scuba diver. Like, no.
I remember seeing that. You remember seeing those in KB Toys? Like, those dolls of Spider-Man, but he's a soccer player, a scuba diver, a boatman.
I honestly know. Some of the silliest shit. I do not recall that, and I'm glad that I don't.
That was during the time of, like, I think it was before, like, 2002 when the He-Man toy line came back, but it was just during that time where there was just nothing great in the toy stores, except Hasbro was re-releasing a lot of G.I. Joes, like the 3 3/4, repackaging and repainting a lot of the Joes in like 2-packs. So you could find some of those and some of the other kind of unreleased characters that were supposed to come out towards the tail end of the G.I. Joe line.
Sorry, I like how Cobra Commander's just saying all this shit and he just like smacks him.
I know, he cowers so quickly at times because it's like, you know, with Cobra Commander, he's not used to being people, you know, having a bigger dog in the yard. Yeah.
But I guess back to the toy talk, once you get past Turtles and Power Rangers, I think after that, ever since then, it's just been re-releases and rehashes of all this other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because even though Pokemon came out in the late 90s...
Yeah, but that wasn't really like...
It's not an action figure. Yeah, that wasn't a figure-based thing. It's just like little figurines that don't do anything. Yeah. You set them up. Maybe kids did play with them, but...
Yeah, that was more about the cards and the video games.
So I'd say Power Rangers probably action figure was like the last original like toy line that came on the scene that was a giant hit with kids, and continues today being
amazing. It's amazing that it's still going on.
Yeah, like in terms of the shows are still going on. I don't know. It never left the air.
Yeah, I don't know like how popular it is.
It seems to be like the biggest thing, though, is that they do play up that those first few seasons with the original group because of all the figures, the merchandise. Yeah. It's constantly being acknowledged back then. Like, you just don't feel like whatever, you know, Power Rangers, Blue Cheese, Thunder.
The Pentagon.
You know, yeah.
DC is under attack.
Which is just such great visual seeing Cobra attacking DC. Like to go to DC yourself or like picture like, oh, what'd be like if Destro was like launching it like this like large attack and I gotta save the day, man. I gotta get me a gun.
Oh
man.
Yeah, shit. No, you
and I become like an honor member of the Joe team by the end. Like, we'd like to recruit you.
Yeah, you would shit your pants and go hide in the corner. Don't even lie about that.
No. I'm not lying about it. It is the hard truth. I'd be the one man army. I would be like John Matrix and John Rambo. This is an awesome shot here, like Serpentor sitting on the Lincoln Memorial. Yeah. God, it's so cool with fire all around him. Like, that's I like what they were going with that. Like, really hammering home. Plus, that's a site that, you know, it's a real thing. So to see Cobra actually taking over our nation's capital, like that, you felt like you could buy into that more because it is something that really exists. And one thing it is cool about Serpentor is that they maintain keeping him as an imposing villain. Right. Like, he's never dumbed down at all, even though after the 87 movie, Marvel wouldn't make any more episodes. And then Deke would pick it up, and Serpentor does show up at the beginning of that because they bring Cobra Commander back from snake form and give him his 87 outfit. That's a cool that shot right here of the Capitol and Cobra made a fire and beautiful. Look at that. Yeah, that's an awesome shot.
It's a good transition.
Yeah.
Back into his face and then another crowd shot.
I remember getting Serpentor at Happy's for like $15, like complete with his chariot back in the day. It's like back where you can get so many like
good deals,
great deals, great characters. And, you know, all I had was allowance money. But even then you felt like, wow, that's a steal, dude. At least I thought at the time. And I think even by today's standards, a complete Serpentor with everything, even came with his knife and his cape. Holy shit, it's General Hawk! Yeah. So you see stuff like this. Like, this is what you wouldn't want to see in a G.I. Joe movie. You know, everybody's getting featured in just one giant, you know, kick-ass fight. But instead, we got to get, you know, hang on a sec. The Rock's got something funny to say. All right, back to the fight. Wait a second here. We thought it was over. He's got something else funny to say. Ah, shit. Just keep the camera on him. He can't stop saying all his, like, funny jack. You know, gags and puns and blah blah blah.
Yeah, the Rock's fine. Don't worry.
He could
don't
be. Worry about that. I was actually having this discussion with somebody else who's a big G.I. Joe fan, and I was like, he has potential, and I honestly believe that. But until he decides to play things straight, he'll never get my blessing. Ever. I remember when they relaunched Joe, when Image brought back Joe, and then before like Devils Due took over doing the comic book, like it was an awesome time because, you know, G.I. Joe's coming back and comic books and toys, He-Man was back in comics and toys, Thundercats was back in comic book form, Transformers, Turtles were back in comic books. Around that early time of the 2000s, it really was an exciting time to have toys and comics. And at times, new cartoons accessible. It was like, holy shit, man! Like the people have spoken. They want this stuff, and we're gonna bring it back. And a lot of it was pretty high in quality. Like that comic book that was out, and I stopped reading after a couple of years because the art got really ugly. God, it was just bad. I'm like, I don't care what you're telling me here. If you're getting a charlatan doing the artwork, you're not gonna sell me shit.
Right.
But it was really cool. I mean, they. You know, reinstated the storyline, which was a four-part miniseries where Destro's son poses as Destro, takes over Cobra, then he's thwarted, and then Cobra Commander comes back to reclaim it, and the real Destro is pissed off and beats the shit out of his son for posing as him, for getting him brought back into the mix. And then Serpentor's brought back not too long after that. The Dreadnoughts are involved. Snake Eyes has an apprentice named Kamakura. I mean, Joe fans who know them, they already know what I'm talking about. For people who don't, the artwork was really good. Kevin Sharp worked on some of the early issues of that. I think it was like around like issue like 11, 12, or 13. Kevin Sharp started working on the book. But I think the guy who inked his work didn't do a very good job because, you know,
even got the parrot Kevin's saying, work. Yo, Joe.
Yeah. Which, not something I would really want to see in a G.I. Joe movie. It's passable in this, but if they were to cast a shipwreck character, like, you know, if you want to give him a parrot, fine. I'm not, you know, that's a throwback to the character, but don't make it a point to, like, well, we can sell some parrot toys. You know, it'd be great. The kids want talking parrots. We'll sell that as part of the G.I. Joe toy line. And then you just want to make sure you find that corporate executive suggestion, then kick him in the nuts.
Well, you've already given him the idea. It's out there now.
Well, I know how to take care of him. I'll just knee him in the nuts until they come out of his throat. Like in Hot Shots Part 2.
I kind of wonder if those guys right there are just like, yeah, this is kind of bullshit, but I don't want him to kill me. He's right in front of me.
Yeah, that's... I mean, you kind of feel like with a lot of this stuff, there's got to be a pretty hard level of loyalty to that leader. Like, you almost feel like, are they thinking strictly from a financial standpoint, like how well they get paid for fear of being punished? I mean, because those things, you know, it's fun to think about, but we really don't need to see it. But, you know, when the troops fail, like, are they brought back for punishment, or is it not really thought of too much because, you know, or do they even think anything about it? Because Cobra's resources are pretty much limitless. You just feel like you can get more and more troops all you want. But it is fun to think about, though.
Talked them out of it.
Like that sequence right there, like you see all these Vipers surrender. Like, could that be Mercer? Since Mercer is an ex-Cobra Viper.
Right.
Like, at what point does... And I just, you know, I haven't really dug too deep into what they've written about the character, but I just kind of take it from the cartoon standpoint of what made him decide, like, you know what, I can't do this anymore, or this is not really what I signed up for, which just makes him kind of fascinating.
Is that ever really explored much during this run? Here?
No, not in the cartoon, not ever. He does show up in the Deke series, but he's got a complete like new look and everything, which I was not a fan of. And then I know he shows up in I don't even think he's really in the comic books in the 80s. I know he makes an appearance or two in like the more recent books over the last several years. It's kind of it picks up where the original line left off kind of thing. Kind of like a more of an 80s style comic book. But if it has, I haven't seen it, and I'm not quite sure. But that wraps up our Serpentor commentary. But, yeah, I don't know. But I just found it to be kind of fun to think about what made Mercer, like, snap and say, like, I'm throwing down the helmet. I'd always like to think that Big Boa, who was a trainer for Cobra, like, worked with him, and he's like, I've had enough of this shit, I'm out of here. And he's like, you know, Big Bo is like, I trained you, like, you know, and that he holds it personal because he trained this guy and he's turned on him as if like it's a failure on him, so therefore he's gonna kill this guy.
That would kind of be like a cool little like side movie, you know?
That
would be like a cool thing to just explore and do, or yeah, I guess when Disney just buys up more stuff, they can just put it on their streaming service as like a series, which Tyler told me to check out the Mandalorian. Was it Mandalorian?
The Mandalorian, yeah.
That actually looks really good. Not going to lie.
The Mandalorian won't talk much. I'm hoping he's a more silent type and doesn't say a whole lot.
But to be burned out on Star Wars pretty bad at the moment, and to watch that and be like, all right, yeah, this looks cool.
Yeah, which might end up becoming, you know, more successful, because I know they announced that Ewan McGregor's coming back as Obi-Wan in a streaming series too, which I know my brother's all for. He always thought that'd be kind of intriguing. Like, I just kind of feel like, you know, we were given like three shitty films concerning Obi-Wan's backstory to a certain extent. Like, you know what? Three times,
yeah, but
and it didn't work then.
He was honestly kind of the best part of those prequels.
I wouldn't even say that. And it's not to knock Ewan McGregor, because it's not his fault. And I think they all are pretty much, I don't think they look at those films as anything great. If they were smart, which I think they're all pretty much unanimously thinking, like, yeah, they're shit films. But I just feel like, well, if Disney wasn't trying to hold those films as canon, then okay. But since they're trying to honor that as part of, you know, the series, but not really like blatantly throwing it out there. But I kind of feel like if they're honoring that, then this did take place. And it's just like,
I think the big news coming out of that is Lizzie McGuire's coming back. Hilary Duff is going to reprise her role as Lizzie McGuire.
Darn!
Yeah, I know.
So I guess she's leaving her shitty show on TV Land or whatever the hell it's called to come back.
I didn't even know she was even working at the moment.
I think it's her. Hell, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't pay attention, but I was like, looks like that Lizzie McGuire girl.
Yeah.
Don't know. But I don't know. It's going to take a lot for me to feel like, you know, all right, I'll give it a shot.
Oh, at this point, I think everybody knows that about you. The bar is set.
Yeah, I'm not
set
saying
high.
Anything. I'm sure people are like, oh, there's a shocker.
Yeah. To the surprise of no
what
one.
What else is new?
But what they have lined up, it has potential. It's just the scary thing about all of this, because I know that they're going to do She-Hulk and Moon Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of wonder, just, are we going to reach that point now where the Marvel property is going to decline in popularity?
Well, I wish it would at some point. Oh, you could hear my knuckles cracking.
Yeah.
You know, part of me does. Well, yeah, something, because it would make them rethink things.
And,
you know,
you also got to wonder, too, with theatrical releases, if it doesn't make $1 billion worldwide, Disney almost looks at it as a failure. So,
yeah.
I wonder what their gauge is going to be for the streaming service. I know they have a projected number of initial subscribers, and this is where they want to be by such and such point, but I don't know. It's a weird thing with just all the streaming services, period, because now we're reaching a point where you're spending so much money. Like, right now, I have Netflix, Hulu, like the paid version. I have the HBO add-on for Hulu, so I could watch the disappointing last season of Game of Thrones. Prime Video, and now you're going to have Disney, NBC's coming out with one, CBS has their all-access thing, and now it's almost like, well, shit, like, you're basically, it's cable all over again. Why can't...
Yeah, if you want all, you got to pay pretty much what you got rid of paying.
Yeah.
You know, to have all these cable channels, well, now you're paying $80 or $100, or to get the premium service, or do you want like the full access? Do you want kind of moderate access? Do you no advertisements, or you don't mind it? Or
yeah, it's,
you know,
something's gonna end up giving, especially with Disney and all the properties they have under their umbrella now. The Marvel money is gonna it's gonna run out eventually. People are gonna start going away from it, and I'm sure with the thing with Sony and Disney not making an agreement, so Spider-Man's out. I feel like we're on the cusp of the beginning of the end. People are going to jump on to the next thing, whatever that may be. It's coming.
Well, I mean, I think there'll always be a market for, like, the top-tier superheroes.
Yeah.
Like a Batman film, another Spider-Man film, or whatever.
But how many people I want to see more of Moon Knight. Like, Moon Knight is cool, looks cool and everything, but for it to be in a series, and especially with how Netflix had to cancel all their shows, like, I'm sure Disney's going to do the same thing on their service. We've already seen it with DC with Swamp Thing, which that basically got canned right after the first couple episodes came out, and they would still advertise, like, oh, here's a new episode, and people in comments and things would just be like, well, why you already canned it, like, are you basically giving me the perception that it's just not good? already, like, why would I watch it? Like, I don't... Executives, it's just weird now because all they're seeing is dollar signs. So it's like you're seeing it now with He-Man. And you were super pissed off last week. But I'm just saying, like, oh, well, that made money. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that this will, or that over there. Like, you can't really gauge it. But they're also not willing to put out, like... They're willing to alienate fan bases just so they can dip their hands into the general audience and try to get a piece of that pie that Marvel's been successful with. And you can't, not every property is going to work that way.
No, and even with their recent announcement at San Diego, what they're coming out with, like a Shang-Chi movie. Yeah. I mean, that's cool, yeah. But. Given that they'll make it dumb as shit and not enjoyable at all, whether or not the Mandarin's in it or not, right. You just kind of feel like I don't think that character's going to be having, you know, anything close to the numbers that they're hoping it would be, because it's not Captain America, it's not Iron Man, it's not Hulk, it's not Thor, you know? It's almost one of those things I kind of feel like, you know, characters like that I think are better served on a series, like, you know, Daredevil was given. And had they treated the rest of those Defender characters like they did with Daredevil, I think we'd have a different story, and I think all those would have been bigger hits. I don't know. I just kind of feel like, you know, there's only so many characters that the general audience is going to be intrigued by. And, you know, at some point they're going to say, well, I don't care if it's Marvel. Like, it doesn't look that interesting, because, I mean, I was shocked at what a hit the Guardians of the Galaxy was, because at first I'm like, I don't recognize a single member of this crew, because it's not from what I can remember. And to me it was like, well, they don't have the X-Men or the Fantastic Four, so let's throw out another teen movie. And it worked, shockingly, because it was more about the humor, and obviously that's what Marvel's going with, is the humor stuff outweighs a lot of the serious tones that they, you know, they portray in the trailers, which I remember that's kind of what sucked me in about Infinity War. It's like you watch the trailers for that and it comes off as very, very serious. Like, this is, you know, devastating. This is going to be, you know, quite earth-shattering. And then you see it, it's just, you feel like the only thing this movie's missing is the Benny Hill soundtrack.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But I don't know. I'm just not kind of, you know, people have heard it before. I just, you know, you just kind of, it's going to end at some point, you kind of feel it, but I think it's gone on a lot longer than I thought it would have.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that.
Yeah. But I'm hoping maybe Matt Reeves' Batman will turn things around for Batman. God knows Batman needs it. But I often feel like with the way they've done with so many of the Marvel characters, there's no way they're going to turn that around and start from scratch and give it a new, more serious take when the more comedic takes have been so successful for them. I'm shit out of luck. And I don't think a lot of people seem to be bothered by it, which makes you feel like Paul, Julie, and Adam's family has the planet gone mad? Like, since when do you want to see, you know, everyone be just as funny as,
It's a bummer. And at the same time, as I've gotten older, I do kind of care less, because I'm just like, whatever. If it's going to be shit, like, who cares? I'm not going to go see it. Yeah. I don't care.
Which I'm kind of glad I don't care. Yeah. I mean, I think it's stupid, and I do get mad about it, but not to the extent where it stays with me. Right. Like, honestly, that shit news about the new He-Man cartoon did stay with me a little bit the next day, but then I've kind of forgotten about it.
I'm not gonna get back on that horse again.
I'm just saying, like, my mindset about things that have been so important to me for so many years, I'm just phasing it out. And you know what? They don't want to make serious action movies like this anymore. It's all about making people laugh and that people recognize that character, and that's really about it. I guess it's safer to play more humor as opposed to the action. I don't know what their perception is, probably. Why they went that route.
Someone may have gotten offended by the action. Who knows?
Yeah. So I just say, well, you know what? I've got a whole slew of great films that were quality and it will always be quality until they decide to make more films along the same quality of like John Wick, which is the only thing quality going today.
Out on digital. I'll just keep... Out on digital as of yesterday. If you haven't, if you guys
have to wait to get that hard copy.
I think I'm just going to do both. Because Emily hasn't seen it, so it would be nice. Maybe I'll do that. I'll buy that. We'll watch it this weekend. And cool. An update on the G.I. Joe Retaliation. I did start it. I got about 15 minutes into it, and I was like, I can't do this right now. So I do have my limits. It's not completely gone. I was just sitting there. I'm like, yeah, I'm not feeling it right now. I guess I could have fast-forwarded a little bit and been fine. But...
And why weren't you feeling it?
Well, because at the beginning, you're establishing Rock as Roadblock and hanging out with Channing Tatum, and they're playing video games, and yeah. I'll just leave it at that. I don't want you to get too depressed before we wrap this up. But
well, no, the fact that you bought that piece of shit thinking you have a good laugh, and you're like, I can't do this.
It was $3. It's fine.
I don't care if it was free. If it was free, you should have tucked it and chuck it into the sewer and hope you hit Pennywise in the eyeball. You know? Eh. That $3 could have went towards anything, you know? Toilet paper, butt wipes, you know? I don't, you know, a newspaper to take a shit on. Anything but buying that.
$3. And it came with a digital copy of the first film, so. Had to have it.
Well, give it to Keith.
No, I already redeemed the digital copy.
Oh, marvelous.
It's in my digital movie collection now. That way, next time you come over, we can watch it. Have some laughs. Hang out, reminisce.
You do have plenty of bleach to drink, don't you?
Actually, no, we don't have any bleach. Got some.
I guess I'll have to bring my own.
Got some Drano, though.
Oh, that'll work. Whatever's quick and easy.
Well, that wouldn't be quick and easy. That'd like burn your insides real bad.
Well, at least to take my mind off the pain of Channing Tatum and Marlon Wayans, you know, doing their, like, witty, like, I'm picking up Scarlet banter.
Yeah.
God. Shoot me in the head.
Perfect. Well, anything you want to add before we wrap it up? Any recommendations?
No.
No. He's got nothing. All right. Well,
I got nothing.
Well, we hope you guys enjoyed. If you enjoyed it, leave a comment down below, like the video, and if you're new to the channel, hit subscribe and ring the bell so you get notified when we go live. Check out all the links down below. You can check out the He-Man podcast that we do, Fans of Power. Find that at youtube.com/fansofpowerpodcast. If you want to download us, you can find us on Podbean and iTunes and probably a variety of other places. I actually looked on Spotify just out of curiosity. We're not on there. Maybe that's something we can work on. Get the audio out to more places.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll look into that. Hit Joe up for a custom, buy his t-shirt. And next week, or the next episode, if we don't do... Because it's Labor Day weekend. I'll probably be going to...
Oh, yeah. Don't even bother.
Well, I might go to Hillsville Flea Market, see if I can find any toys. Overpriced bullshit covered in dirt.
Yeah, I mean, Erica said we would go next Saturday morning, too, so...
Missing an arm and a leg and... Missing everything. I gotta have $30 for this.
I decided to go strictly for the fun and nostalgia, knowing full well I'll come back empty-handed, nothing to buy, because
that.
It's just a bunch of skid mark stained turtle figures, yeah. He-Man figures, you know,
LJN wrestlers missing all the paint.
Yeah, they're just skin colored, and you can't tell who the hell it was unless you recognize the pose.
Yeah.
So. But, you know, just don't go expecting, you know.
Oh, I my expectations are low. Our flea marketing has been very hit and miss for the last, 10 years.
I want to say, I think when, because I haven't been in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And the last time I went was pretty uneventful, but. And the year before that was too, but I remember going with Erica a few times too, and like coming back with like, it's pretty good stuff here. And then of course, when you and I would go, I mean, we'd come back with some pretty good hauls. Yeah. And then even before that, it was, you know, you come back with bags and bags of vintage toys and other things too. So we got some great war stories. Oh, the flea market's just unfortunate we don't have anything new to share.
Maybe that's something we can do one day too. Share our flea market stories that we've accumulated over the years. Anyway, if we're not here next week, then we'll definitely catch you the following. Or I'm off. I don't have to go to work next Monday, so maybe
I do. I'm working. I don't get off that day. Oh. I just had to put it in my back pocket and save it for when the students aren't in. So
gotcha.
Yeah.
But the next time you do see us or listen to us, we will be talking Batman Beyond, because that was requested of us. So we're gonna check that out. Which the episode that we're going to do, I don't really have much of recollection of it. So I will make sure that I get that watched, so I'm ahead of the game and ahead of the curve this time.
Probably won't. We could take bets. If you do win the bet, then we'll do your episode. If you won the bet, then we'll honor the episode you want us to watch. Permitting it's not shit. And, we'll take bets here. Will Nathan actually watch it, or will he show up and say, I had to poop too much and didn't have time to watch
it? I pooped too much. I ate a lot of corn.
Yeah.
Well, that's a hell of a way to end it. We hope you guys enjoyed. And until then, we will see you in the future to talk about the past. Take care, everybody.
Later.